حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The prerequisite to dua is shukr. And the prerequisite to shukr is lazzat. Without a person thoroughly enjoying and taking pleasure of the life and the blessings that Allah has given him, then his shukr will never be correct. And without doing shukr, his dua will never be correct. And that's why the subject of lazzat is so important in a man's life. The natural inclination for happiness, for enjoyment, for pleasure that are suppressed in a person, that people try to conceal, must be brought out from inside ourselves. They must be released through contemplation, through self-reflection, through talking with ourselves. This is a nature that Allah created us with. If we are hiding it, if we are trying to suppress it, the way to bring it out is by talking to ourselves, by self-reflection. What we call tafakkur and tadakkur and ta'ammul. By talking to ourselves and truly seeing what we are and who we are and trying to bring out our real self. Because whenever a person or people try to hide and conceal their inner emotions, it usually ends up being psychologically problematic. Psychological problems happen when people hide their emotion. It stays inside, starts to build up, and then eventually explodes. And then we have a breakdown. This is exactly what happens when we try to suppress our inner inclinations that Allah has put in us. Suppress them until you see our mind becomes dysfunctional. It's not able to think correctly because of the anguish that has been suppressed inside of us. Until people don't accept this nature, and they don't accept it for many reasons. Many reasons people have for not accepting the reality that we, who we are, what we are, insan. And when we don't accept that, really, it stays inside. But when a person comes to terms with himself, with his reality, with who he is, what he is, what his nature is, then when it comes out of him, and this is released from him, then he will go after, strive for, and struggle to achieve what his nature is calling him to do. When Allah created man, and here, obviously, I just want to make us understand that this seeking pleasure that we are talking of is so innate to us that truly, if we do not seek pleasure in the blessings that Allah has given and live by our nature, then we truly would not know how to go to the higher levels of iman. That just becomes an illusion for us. When we hear, for example, those who are close to Allah, or the awliya of Allah, or Ahlul Bayt, and when we view their history or their lives and their pleasure that they're having in greater things, that I said one of them being the knowledge of Allah, and they are completely in raptures. When we look at them, it becomes an illusion for us, something that, you know, is there. And us reaching there, we will be like, you know, I don't know what they're going through. Maybe they are different people, or maybe they're different creation. No, they're not different creation. They're not a different creation. It is us who need to have the attitude of that. So let me make a dua so that we can understand what a mu'min's mindset is. And you can say ameen if you want to. Right? Allah, we ask, Allah, Ya Allah, Allahumma, O Allah, for all those moments, and for all those times, and for all those opportunities that you gave us, that we did not enjoy and had pleasure with Allah, we are sorry for that. And we ask for your forgiveness. You see, the attitude of a mu'min. He's like, Allah, you gave me this. I should be in raptures. I should be overjoyed. Because you gave it to me, subhanallah. How can I be upset or angry or sad or grieving or anything like that? This is where we start. Because Allah, this search for pleasure, this search for happiness is innate in ourselves. Allah made it like that. So when Allah made us like that, then He must provide a solution for us to reach there. Allah says, listen, I want you to experience the greatest pleasure in life. The best thing. What can you imagine that is pleasureful higher than that? That's what I created you for. I want you to have so much fun. That's why I made you. I'm not taking you to Jannah so you can be in pain. You know, Allah, why did you do this to me? Why did you bring me to Jannah? What is that? I mean, Allah made Jannah. Allah made him, his knowledge close to us so that we can find pleasure in that. So Allah must have given us the solution. So here's one solution that Allah has given. For us to go after this nature that is within us of seeking higher pleasure. Let me explain that if you send the salawats. My friends, when you come face to face with anything that is pleasurable, whatever it is in your mind that is pleasurable or that you enjoy or have fun with, whatever it is, there are two types of pleasures. You will see that there are two types of pleasure that a person experiences or has. The first type of pleasure is the capacity of enjoying that thing bil fi'l, meaning right now. It is accessible to us to enjoy right now. The second type of pleasure is the pleasure that we can access potentially. We have the potential to get there. There are two types of pleasures, my friend. Understand this. This is life. You know, I'm not talking about something strange. I'm talking about something that you go 24/7 through. Whatever pleasure it is, you will see that there are certain pleasures that right now you can access and enjoy and have fun with. Right now, as we speak, as we live, they're bil fi'l. Right now, it's there for us to enjoy. There's certain pleasures that we have the potential of reaching. We have it in us to reach there. These are two types of pleasure. Now, the pleasures that are available right now for us, we enjoy them. You know, when you are tired, you go to sleep. Sleep is a pleasure. Right? Sleep is pleasurable. When you're hungry, you eat. Eating is pleasurable. You enjoy eating when you're hungry. Right? Or when you're thirsty, you drink. Drinking is pleasurable. It is pleasing to us when we drink when we are thirsty. Or when we are hungry when we're eating. You see, it brings pleasure. These are available and we enjoy them. Now, the difference between the pleasures that are available for you right now and the pleasures that are potentially available for you that you must reach is that for those pleasures that Allah has kept for you and has put the potential in you to reach them, there needs to be some effort put into them. There needs to be some work done for them. You know, sleeping, you don't need to go and learn how to sleep, right? You don't need to go through a course to eat. You know, here's eating course, this is how you eat. We all know, animals know that. The animals that Allah made, they all enjoy sleep and they all enjoy eating. They all do that. We also enjoy that. So these are those pleasures Allah has kept for us that we all take advantage of and benefit from and are pleased with and enjoy. But the pleasures that are bilquwwat, meaning that are potentially in us that we must unwrap, these are pleasures that we must work for. There's some struggle involved in it. There are some difficulties you have to go through to reach those pleasures. So first difference is that the pleasures that are potentially in you, you need to work for them. The second difference between these two pleasures is that the pleasures that you have to work for, that you have to strive for, that you have to go through trouble for, are much more gratifying. They are much more gratifying. They are much more pleasurable. There is no comparison between the two. Really, this is, my friends, understand this difference, because here is where, you know, mankind, and that's us, we come to a predicament that is actually laughable. It's ridiculous. A predicament that we come through that is truly laughable. And this is something that needs to be known to us so that we can understand, how do we get from the pleasures that I am feeling right now to those pleasures that are much more enjoyable? Send us salawats. If a person knows, like I will ask you directly, if you know that you're enjoying life, but there's something much more gratifying and enjoyable, would you struggle and strive and work to get to that pleasure? What does your human psychology say? Yourself, your inner logic, what does it say? If I see that there is more pleasure in that, would I work? Would I strive and struggle to get there, to that? In our life, we see it as an example and we know it through experience that we all do that. Why do you work so hard in school? Really, is it because of a degree? Are you really working for a degree? I want that degree, I'm going to put it on my wall and that's my pleasure. No, you're working for a degree so that you can get a better job. a better pay, a stable life, right? So now your life is unstable as a kid, right? Or as a youth, as a youngster, you know, I mean, you know, all youngsters go through that, or, you know, adolescents, right? They go through that struggle of knowing their identity. So now what happened is that when you look at that and you see that, hey, if I can have a stable life, if I can have a better job, that will be more pleasing. You see, now we work for it, right? We work for that, right? We see that there's a better pleasure there, right? Or for example, you know, let's say, you know, that, you know, you have, I don't know, Nintendo 64 in your house. I give my example to the kid, Nintendo 64. They're like, what is that? The kids nowadays don't even know that. Okay, you do that, huh? There you go. They don't even know that. Now what happened? Yeah, you know, you got Xbox One, PS4, you know, and, you know, I mean, in those days, you know, the best games we played were like, you know, that thing eating up the balls, you know, this and that. Nowadays, you got, you know, GTA 5, you know. And you're playing all these amazing wild games with so much great graphics, this and that. If you were told that, listen, in order to get that Xbox One or PS4, you have to go through this, right? Unfortunately, parents make them fast the whole month of Ramadan, right? Fast the whole month of Ramadan. And you see, the child is doing that without any complaints because he sees there is a pleasure. You see, if you know that there's a pleasure that is better than what you are going through, human psychology and our inner logic says, go after it. Go after it. That should be the case. Right? That should be the case. So now, if you know that there's a pleasure that is better than what you have right now, what you are feeling right now, why aren't you going towards that? La ilaha illallah. You know, when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when he has said that the greatest pleasure is in the knowledge of Allah, he said that, okay, we believe in Imam Sadiq, but even beyond that, when you look at the lives of Ahlul Bayt, when you look at the lives of the Awliya of Allah and the friends of Allah, you see them completely in raptures, overjoyed with this pleasure that I do not feel in the pleasures that I have right now. Really, I can only eat so much before it becomes painful. Right? Whatever it is that I do, whatever pleasure I'm feeling, what are they feeling? That must be something good. We see that, right? So now, what is stopping us from getting there? What is stopping us from going from the pleasures that we have right now to the potential pleasures that are much more gratifying that are in store for us? What is stopping us? My friends, this is where it's ridiculous. You know the reason? Really, what makes us not go after it? It is so laughable that when you think about it, like, man, I'm missing all of that for this reason. Really, the reason for us not going after that is only laziness. We are too lazy. It is laughable. We do that in life in order to get a better house, a better neighborhood. We work off our rear end trying to go to a better home and a better neighborhood. And when we look at these things, these are all temporary, materialistic pleasures that don't last long. Really, 2 years in your house and you're already bored of it. You want another one. You bought a new car in 2 years, in 3 years, you know, now that car is useless and you still have to make the payments on it. And you're bored of it. You want another one. Nowadays, people lease, you know, so they can try new cars, you know, and all these things. So what happens? My friends, understand our psychology. We run after these things that are almost the same. It's not a big difference between this car and that car, this house or that house. But when we look at the, wow, these pleasures that Allah says, I have in store for you the greatest pleasures. And here we are being lazy. Just laziness, that's all. Why are you being lazy to run after these great pleasures? Well, of course, shaitan helps us also. You know, shaitan helps us to be lazy. He says, listen, you know, understand, you know, I mean, I want everyone to understand shaitan, right? Because a lot of times, you know, if you don't pay attention to him, wow, he fooled us already. You know what, you know, shaitan is, in the words of Allah, he's your enemy. You know what that means? Every time he looks at you, he wants you dead. Yes. He wants you to get into an accident in the most horrible way and die. Die. You know, that's what he's, when he looks at us. And it doesn't matter who you are. Really, it doesn't matter. He's not against believers. You think his animosity is with believers? No. His animosity is with you being a human being. He hates humans. All of us. Whether you are with him or against him. It doesn't matter to him. He hates you. He hates your guts. He wants you dead. So whenever you think of shaitan, don't look at him as a, you know, a friend or, you know, someone who's lost or misguided. You know, he knows what he's doing. He hates it. This is, my friends, understand this. And you know what? A lot of people, they go in trying to please shaitan, and they think that, no, he's not against kuffar or he's not against mushrik. Right? This is shaitan's party. No, it's not shaitan's party. There is Hizb-e Shaitan as opposed to Hizbullah, Allah mentions in the Quran. Hizb-e Shaitan is what? The party of shaitan. But those who are in the party of shaitan, shaitan doesn't like them. He also wants them dead also. Understand this. He is your enemy. Whether you're with him or against him. Now, let me give an example. You know who was Marhab? Right. Now, was he in Allah's party or shaitan's party? Oh, good. The kids know this, right? He's in shaitan's party, right? I want you to understand something. Now, if he's in shaitan's party, then shaitan wants him to be stronger, right? And wants to live and, you know, do his work because he's doing work for shaitan. But tell me, when Marhab came out to fight the Battle of Khaybar and Imam Ali, alayhi salam, when he introduced himself and says, "Ana alladhi summiyat ummahu Haydar," that I am the one that my mother has named me Haydar. And when Marhab heard that, he remembered what his mother said, that don't fight someone whose name is Haydar, that's not good for you. He remembered that. So he didn't want to fight Imam Ali, and he turned back and walked around and went back to his base camp. Now who brought him back? Who brought him back? Right? Shaitan, who came to him and said, "Where are you going?" He says, "Oh, you know, I can't fight someone whose name is Heather. My mother told me." What? Is that why you're going back? Said, yeah, that's why I'm going back, because, you know, my mother said that, you know, that someone whose name is Heather, don't fight him. He said, "Listen, there are many people whose name is Heather. How do you know this is the one?" You know what? That's logical. And he went back. And you know what happened? He got killed. Now tell me, shaitan is looking at Marhab, he's like one of mine. But to shaitan, it doesn't matter if you're his or against him. Shaitan's going to do that. He is your enemy, and he is going to destroy you, no matter who you are or what stand you take or which party you belong to. This is shaitan. So when you know this is shaitan, you need to know his, you know, insinuations also. What does he want from you? You know how shaitan misguides us? Right. He makes a donkey out of us. I didn't want to use the other word. He makes a donkey out of us, right? That's what he does. I want to explain to you how he does that. You see, my friends, this is psychological. I mean, really, it goes very deep within us, right? Obviously, you know, we are amused by, you know, the wordings, but it is serious in our lives. The struggle that we are going through every day in our lives, whether you are at home, at school, or at work, any place you are, you're going through this struggle. Understand what Shaitan is trying to do to you so that now we can start to defend ourselves. Send a salawat. You know what Shaitan does? Shaitan, he will come to you. Now, pleasure is in our nature. Understand this, my friends. Shaitan is not using anything that goes against anything. He is using our nature and the nature that Allah built us on, the instincts that Allah built us on to misguide us. Seeking pleasure is in our nature. What Shaitan does is that he makes us and wants us to become so happy with inferior pleasures that we forget the greater pleasures that are in store for us. This is what Shaitan is doing. That's all he's doing. He's saying, oh, you like this? Here, have another go at it. You know, and there we go. We go at it. And then we're like, okay, you know, I think I reached my height with this. You know, maybe there's something else. Don't worry about it. You know, come on. Enjoy yourself right now. And what happens is that we get so drowned with inferior materialistic pleasures that we forget the greater pleasures, that beautiful enjoyment and that amazingly happy life that Allah wants us to reach and has in store for us and says, you have the potential to get there. You have the potential to get there. So why are you stopping yourself from this? Why are you stopping yourself? What's making you stop from reaching that? Why are you happy with this? Understand now, our nature is what? To reach the height of pleasure. Shaitan is making us just be happy with the inferior pleasure, and here we are happy with this, and we are not able to go for and work for that, because that requires a little bit of work. He just makes us lazy. That's all he's doing. La ilaha illallah. My friends, is it worth? The question is it worth for us to struggle and to strive to get to greater pleasures or not? If you see that there is something better that you could have become, my friends, this is a serious question now. If you see that there's something better that you could have become, if you see that there is a greater pleasure that you could have achieved, and it was right there in your hand, and you didn't take advantage of it, what would you feel? Tell me honestly. What would you feel? That if you know that, you know what? You know, like I said yesterday, right? That example is really important of Ubaidullah ibn Hura Jahfi. Imam Hussein came to his door asking him for help. Right there, to his door. And you know what? He just had to make a little bit of sacrifice. He says, wow, I could have been there. I could have been there. This might be a very hateful example. Let me give you a smaller example, my friends. If you went through life, you had wife, you had children, right? You know, I'll talk about children, right? You had children. Those children grew up in your house. Let's say they grew up and you never spent time with them and enjoyed their growth. You are too busy. You're doing other things. You never enjoyed your children. Hadith says they're qurrat-e ayni. I mean, they're the light of your eyes. Allah gave it as a blessing, and you went through life, never enjoyed their growth, never enjoyed their company with you. How would you feel? Now they're grown up, you have no relationship with them. How would you feel? Tell me, my friends. What emotion would you feel if that's the situation? Would you feel disappointment? Would you feel regret? right? You feel regret, right? Man, I wish I could have, if I had lived this life again and had these children again, I would have spent time with them and truly enjoyed their company. This is what it is, my friends. You know, when you, if there's something that you could have achieved and you did not achieve, what you feel is regret. What you feel is regret. Now, this is something for the past, right? Not for the future. Let's say I can achieve that. And I see that it's in my hands and in my potential to achieve it, but I don't work for it. I don't strive for it. Would you feel regret or not? My friends, if you understood this emotion, this regret that you have, of not achieving something that you could have achieved, this regret is called istighfar. Now you understand what istighfar means. Astaghfirullah. What are you saying it for? You see, you're saying it because of what? Because there is that thing. You open your eyes, you see something that you haven't achieved, that you could achieve. A greater pleasure that you could have reached. And when you don't reach that, you feel that regret, that despair. And so what happens is that when you feel that, when you open your eyes and see, wow, I could have been there. You know, what is this? When you say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fa'afudha ma'akum. I mean, you see something in front of you that you can't achieve, but you are not working for it. You never strove for it. This is what happens. You end up with regret. And when you end up with regret, you start to despair. You start, wow, I had this chance. Why didn't I do this? You see this feeling? This is for everyone, my friends. At every level of Iman. At every level of Iman. You cry, right? You cry. You go before Allah and you start crying. Feel this remorse so much. Feel this regret so much. And now start. Bow down before Allah. Go into sajda and start crying. And say, Allah, I am sorry. You had this in front of me. I did not reach there. Why didn't I do this? My friends, everyone cries when they open their eyes and see what's in front of them and what they haven't achieved. La ilaha illallah. Yes, my friends, everyone cries. Why do you think Imam Ali is crying in front of Allah? Has he done anything wrong in the past? Nothing. Hussein, why is he crying then? He's crying more than you. He's shaking in prayers when he's crying in front of Allah. My friends, understand. If you open and his eyes are open and his basirat is way greater, we can't even compare with ourselves. When you see that, then you will realize, why is Imam Ali saying or Ahlul Bayt saying Astaghfirullah? Now you will understand this. My friends, this is what it is. Why? Because there is, I mean, between you and Allah, there's a huge gap. People, you know, have the wrong idea of Allah. You know, they think that, you know, Allah has been reached by Ahlul Bayt. You know, Ahlul Bayt reached Allah, now we have to go and reach Allah. No, my friends, no one has reached Allah. No one has reached Allah. Imam Baqir alayhi salam. He says that every Thursday, Allah reveals a knowledge about himself to us, Ahlul Bayt. He reveals a knowledge, an ilm about Allah to him, to Ahlul Bayt, that after we get that knowledge, it's as if we had never known Allah before this. And this is them, who are we? That we say, oh, we already know Allah. There is a difference, my friends, and that's why it's infinite. The search is infinite. The path is infinite. That's why you look at this and you say, Astaghfirullah. Allah, you have this in front of me. How much do I have to reach? That's why, my friends, our innate nature is to look for pleasure. And Allah says this pleasure is infinite. Don't sacrifice those greater pleasures that I have for you for the media, for the small, inferior pleasures that you are feeling right now. You, when you are feeling these pressures, know that there are greater pleasures that are waiting for you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So there's no ending for lazzat and pleasure. There's no limit for that. It's infinite. It's infinite, my friends. You understand that? You see, this is why the idea of lazzat is so important in Islam, and why Quran and Ahlul Bayt are telling us, do not deny your nature. Now, some people, you know, for example, you know, they, because of the fact that they don't understand their nature, they deny their nature. They'll say, you know, I mean, what are you talking about pleasure, you know? We are not Ahl al-Azaz. We are not, you know, people who run after pleasure, this and that. Oh, get off your high horse, you know? This is in our nature. You deny this and you're denying what Allah has made us for. This is what Allah made us for. This is what happens. People, they lie to themselves. They deceive themselves in the garb of whatever idea of piety that they have. But the idea is that when you see Islam and when you see the teachings of Islam and how Allah said, this is your nature I made it on, and I have the greatest things in store for you. Your job is to put in a little bit of work, struggle a little bit, and reach those greater pleasures. That's where we end up, my friends. This is where we end up. You know, let me just read, you know, enough of me talking. Let me just speak from the language and the speech of Ahlul Bayt. You know, I mean, Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, this hadith is from him. Truthfully, I mean, he has said, I mean, like Imam Ahlul Bayt, all of them, just like Allah, you know, they don't have formalities. They're not trying to please you to join their group. You know, they are straightforward, blunt, and open, whether you like it or not. All right, that's Imam Ali. He's blunt. You know, he's not going to, you know, butter you up or flatter you so that you can be in his party. We know that. We know Ahlul Bayt. They are honest. They are truthful. They are blunt. They are up forward, and they say it as it is. They don't hide or sugarcoat anything. And here you see Imam Ali is speaking and saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, and he goes on, he says, Wa amwalukum nahbun lil masa'ib. He says, your wealth of this world, in this dunya, your wealth is covered with masa'ib. This is masa'ib, this is dunya, this is the enjoyments of dunya, right? Materialistic enjoyment is there. Enjoyment is there, but it's covered with musibat. He says, Ma ta'imtum fi dunya min ta'amin falakum fihi ghasasun. He says, there's no food that you eat in this dunya except that after eating that food, there's difficulty. That food brings difficulty before and after. Right? Before the food comes, there's hunger. After the food comes, there's pain. Right? And other things, you know, you know it. Right? When you eat food, what happens? You know, where you have to go. Thank you. I don't want to say it from the member, but you know, the audience made it clear. Right? Now, Imam Ali mentions that. I didn't mention it. You know, just I want you to understand it. He says that وَمَا شَرِبْتُمُوهُ مِنْ شَرَابٍ فَلَكُمْ فِيهَ شَرَكٍ. Whatever drink that you drink in this dunya, it comes with its predicaments. Same thing, my friends. Understand it. He's saying that there is enjoyment in food. There is enjoyment in this. But these materialistic enjoyments, what happens with them? They come with their predicament. Now when you enjoy them, what you should be looking for? He says, enjoy, but know that there is a greater pleasure than this. There's something better for you than this. La ilaha illallah. You know, Allah, he says in the Quran, and I'm sure you have read this ayah. He says, inna ma'al usre yusra. He says, after every difficulty is ease, right? Now, Have you ever noticed, you know, I mean, you know, and obviously he doesn't say, you know, inna ba'al, yusre usra, after ease is difficulty. No, after difficulty is ease. Do you know why he repeated it two times? Those who have read the surah, no. Again, he says, inna ma'al usre yusra, two times. I mean, Allah is not repeating himself. We do that from the minbar, you know. We repeat ourselves. But Allah is not repeating himself because he says, okay, you know what, they might not get it right now, so let me repeat it again. Right, my friends, this is the whole concept. He says, inna ma'al usre yusra, you, for example, go from this pleasure to this pleasure, a higher pleasure. Once you reach there, then that higher pleasure now becomes your difficulty. And then you go to another pleasure that's higher than that. And go on, and go on, and go on. This is what it is. Until you reach the height of pleasure, that when you taste that, when you taste that, then you know what? That's when you will be so completely, thoroughly satisfied and gratified that after that, there will be nothing coming out of your mouth except Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. You know, I mean, this is Imam speaking. I'm trying to give this really to make us understand, my friends. Dunya, yes, there's the enjoyment. That enjoyment Allah wants you to have. Why? Because now when you enjoy it, then you can yearn for something better. Then at least you will know that there's problems in it. Allah, you know, I love food and I ate it and now diabetes. You know. Now what happens? What? I enjoyed the food, diabetes, but it's natural, you know. That's what happens when you enjoy it, and when you live it, you will have problems. Imam Ali is saying, yes, there's masaib behind it. There's hardships and difficulties with it. He's saying that, but he's not saying don't enjoy it. Like, he's not saying don't enjoy. He says enjoy. But then when you enjoy it, understand that you should yearn for something better than this. Allah made you in that nature. Now that you're happy with this, now look for better things. This is, my friends, what lazzat is for. He made us on this nature so we can reach that higher levels. That's it, inshallah. I will stop. There's many things to say, inshallah. We will, you know, say this. Maybe one hadith more, you know, from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. You know the letter I read for you, in which Imam says that the mu'mineen, they eat better than the kuffar, they live better than the kuffar, they ride better than the kuffar, they dress better than the kuffar. Now, my friends, understand this. Now Imam Ali, obviously when we say that, now he gives you the reason why. Why is it that they do that? Understand it. So that we can take pleasure in this, my friends. He's saying, As-sahru alazdhu min na'am. Min an-na'am. He said that staying awake, being awake, it results in the best sleep. Sleep is pleasure, but that sleep will become better when you're tired. Understand this, when you're tired and you're awake, now when you sleep, you'll be really good. Now, if you don't need to sleep, if you're not tired, try sleeping. Right? And then you need sleeping aids, right? Because, you know, you're not tired. But when you're tired and go to sleep, you see, that's the best sleep, he says. When you're hungry, then you have the most taste in your food. Imam is saying this. When you're hungry, you have the best taste in your food. You try it in your own self. You know it. If you're hungry and eat at iftar, you see everything tastes good. Right? In iftar, even eggplant tastes good. And broccoli. You're eating everything. But when you're full, you know, even the best foods, even biryani is like, come on. Enough, right? Even nahari, even whatever you want to eat, whatever you like to eat, you see it's hard. It's not tasteful. Understand this. The reason a mu'min enjoys life more is because he goes without, and when he gets, he enjoys it more than the kuffar do. This is the reason, my friends. A mu'min, you know, when you see his life, he's like that. He enjoys it more than others. Why? Because he doesn't take it all the time. There is other pleasures for him, that he's awake praying. He's awake doing azadari. He's awake doing this. So that now when he sleeps, now there's that pleasure. Much more than anything else. La ilaha illallah. My friends, inshallah. More inshallah we'll go in tomorrow to recognize the life of those who had pleasure. Really, this is what we need to look at. You know, today, just this, you know, there's a, I mean, Allah has given you the taste of the pleasure, right, of Jannat in this dunya. And maybe we don't have the ma'rifat or the recognition to understand that, but if we pay attention, maybe we will understand that. Understand this, my friend. This is something we look at, my friends. Really, what do you think is the pleasure? What kind of pleasure do you get in the aza of Imam Hussein? Look at yourself and let me ask a question, and you answer it for yourself. Really, you answer it for yourself. If there's anything in this dunya that is offered for you to trade this time that you spend in the musibat of Imam Hussein, in the love of Imam Hussein, would you trade that and give this up? Answer it for yourself. Answer it for yourself. And really, my friends, then understand why a Shia, why a mu'min is drowned in this. He is intoxicated. Once he knows Hussein, that's it. He's intoxicated, and now he's just asking Hussein, what have you done with me? What have you done with me? That I'm crazy for you. My mind is crazy for you. I can't get you off of my mind. I can't get you out of his heart. Even if I try to, I can't do this. La ilaha illallah. My friends, let me just tell you this, right? You know, a lot of times we don't see things. Even if it happens in front of us, we don't recognize it. We don't realize it. You know what a mu'jaza is? You know what a miracle is? We hear it in the Quran. And if we are living in it, why aren't we recognizing it? My friends, you know, when Musa split open the sea, and the people that went inside crossed it, they were looking at the waters on both sides and they're saying, wow, Musa is a prophet, that he has done this. Mufa is a prophet. Now it's a different story that they went on and they worshipped a cow. Mu'jiza doesn't rectify you. But at least you can recognize something in a mu'jiza, my friends. When you are in it, at least you can verify it and say that yes, you're in it. You know what? Really, if you haven't recognized it, recognize it now that you are sitting in a mu'jiza. You are sitting in a miracle. My friends, Imam Sadiq said that it's more difficult to split a heart open than to split an ocean and a sea. Musa split open the sea. We see that Hussein has split open the hearts of people. This is it. This is the most. What do you think this is? You are living that miracle. You are a part of it. You sitting in this majlis is a miracle. If we can understand that, then we can at least look to Hussein and say, Hussein, what have you done with us? Really, what have you done with us? You know, if this world can get together and try to make up a mazloom, to make a martyr, to make a shaheed, write a script, get all of them together to write a script that is so heartrending, that is so amazing, that it enraptures people, and all of them try to get together and do a fraction, live a fraction, and love a fraction of the love and life that we have for Hussein, they cannot do this. Because this is the truth. Hussein is Haq. Hussein has now understand what that means. Hussein is Haq. Why? Because of the fact that you can't emulate this. This is reality. This is reality, my friends. Imam Hussein, when you look at Imam Hussein and when you see the azadari of Imam Hussein, when you see the majlis of Imam Hussein, when you see the mourning of Imam Hussein, when you see the matam of Imam Hussein, don't let it go by without you being a part of it. Don't let it go by without you being a part of it. If you ignore it, if you let it go by, that's a mistake that you will regret. Just let me tell you one thing. When you are crying for Imam Hussein, when you are mourning for Imam Hussein, when you are doing matam for Imam Hussein, at least leave some room on the side. You know why? Because with you, Imam Mahdi is crying also. He is doing matam with you also. You know, when you go for Hajj, they say, you know, that, for example, Imam is there, and a mu'min, a Shia, when he goes for Hajj, when he's making tawaf, he is constantly, his eyes are looking for the Imam everywhere. He's looking for the Imam everywhere to see, where is my Imam? Where is my Imam? His eyes are desperately looking for the Imam, as if you have lost a child that you're looking for. With that desperation, they're looking for Imam when they're around. You know what? When in majlis also, when you are crying, maybe you can look around and see where the Imam is sitting in this majlis. Maybe when the Imam is sitting in this majlis. La ilaha illallah. I mean, really, I just want to talk about the Sahaba, the companions of Imam Hussein. These companions of Imam Hussein, really, my friends, I mean, leave Ahlul Bayt alone. They are a, you know, whole different world altogether. The children of Imam Hussein are a whole different world altogether. I'm talking about the companions of Hussein. Let me spend some time on that so you understand this. You know what I mean? These people who were around Imam Hussein used to look around them with so much pride. I mean, he used to look at, this is Imam, and he's not emotional. He looks at them and sees, these, look at who these people are. Each one of them being a light to his own self. Each one of them is a mountain of a personality. And they are such people that when we stand before them, we are like the dust under their feet. We look up to them, we're like Zuhair, looking up Habib, Muslim ibn Husajah. Who are these mountains walking around? This is it. No, maybe you haven't truly understood this, but you know what? All of these great people are there, but Hussein is the same with all of them. Hussein, you know what I mean? His love for his companions, his love and his care for them is such, each and every one of them. That's why you see, whenever someone died in the battlefield, fell in the battleground, it was Hussein who was running to get them. You think it was easy for Hussein running there, picking someone up in the middle of the battle and bringing them back? But Hussein was doing that. You know how much Hussein, really, when you look at Karbala and read the history of Karbala, then you see what kind of a person Imam Hussein is, what kind of an Imam he is. On the morning of the battle, when he has the whole line laid out for the battlefield, All of them are now standing. Then Imam Hussain makes an announcement. Tell me, is there anyone who has a loan in his life that he has to give back? Is there anyone who has a loan in his life that he has to give back? Someone said, Ana Agha, I'm here. I have a loan that I owe someone. Imam Hussain took out some money and gave it to him and said, go give back this loan for you. Imagine that, how much he is thinking of his companions. This is Imam Hussain. Really, my friends, don't think that you are small. Understand how big Hussain is. Yes, understand this, my friends. You know, there was a Turkish slave in the camp of Imam Hussain. He belonged to one of the companions of Imam Hussain. He was a slave. You know, I mean, a slave, someone who's a servant, just there. You know, he was not big. He didn't even open his mouth. He would be scared of others because he was looking at these people. I mean, these people are like great people. And he looked at himself and his mind, he had this inferiority complex about himself. And he thought that, who am I? I'm just a slave. I'm nothing. But you know what? He admired Imam Hussain so much. He had so much love for Imam Hussain that whenever he had a chance, he would come in the back of the gathering, like behind in the majlis, and he would just look at the face of Imam Hussain and just love Imam Hussain from far away. He says, I can't get closer than this. I'm just a slave. I'm just a slave. I don't want to get closer than that. This is Hussain. Who am I? And you know what? This Turkish slave, he saw that everyone is fighting and when the people are dying, so he said, you know what? I'll just go there and defend Hussain. I'll go on the battlefield. So he started to fight. In Karbala, he was fighting in one corner of the battlefield and he fought for Hussain. And every time he was fighting, he would look back to see if Hussain is alive, to make sure that he's alive, and he will look back and say, yes, Hussain is alive. Then he would go forward. Then he would go forward and fight more, and he would get injured, and more injuries came to him. And this person, after a while, you see that this person, he fell to the ground. The name is not mentioned for him. He's just known as, the Turkish slave. That's all he's known as in history. He fell on the ground. When he fell on the ground, he heard everyone say, whenever someone used to fall on the ground, they would say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. They would say that, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Everyone would say that. But you know what happened? He wanted to say it, but he shut up. He said, who am I to say that? Who am I to say that? That's Hussain. I can't even take his name. I don't want to embarrass him. That if Hussain comes to me and says, you a slave, you call me here. You are just a nobody and you made me come over here. He was afraid of that. He didn't want Hussain to go over any trouble because of him. So inside of himself, he whispered, Assalamu alaikum ya Allah. He was dying. He said, Assalamu alaikum. He closed his eyes, waiting for death to come. He closed his eyes, waiting for death to come. And then he felt a coolness. The heat was finished. There was a coolness. He thought that this is it. Malakul Maut has come. My Jannat has been promised. He opened his eyes and he saw that Hussain is standing above him. Hussain's face was on top of him. And he says to Hussain, that Hussain, Mola, Master, why did you come? I didn't want to bother you. Hussain said, how is it possible that someone calls me and I don't come to him? Maybe we can ask our Imam, that Imam, we are lying down here, all alone, ashamed to call you, because you are so great, we don't want to trouble you, we are here, maybe you listen, when you listen to us, we know Imam, just come and grab our hands. Hussain came to him, he went to him, he kissed his forehead, and he hugged him, and said, now you go. Yes, man, this is Imam Hussain. This is Imam Hussain. La ilaha illallah. Wo jaan tha,
ایک اور ایک غلام جو جان تھا، جان امام حسین کے نزدیک آتا ہے اور مولا سے کہتا ہے، جب سب چلے گئے، جان ایک ادنا سا غلام ہے امام حسین کا، مولا کے پاس آگے کہتا ہے کہ مولا آپ کے پاس سے سب شہید ہو گئے، کوئی آپ کے پاس نہیں رہا، کوئی نہیں رہا، مجھے اجازت دیئے تاکہ میں جا کے آپ کے خاطر جنگ کروں، آپ کے لیے جنگ کروں، ہاتھ بن کے کہتا ہے کہ مجھے جانے دو۔ امام حسین کہتے ہیں نہیں جان، تم نہیں۔ پھر جان نے ایک فقرہ کہا جس کی وجہ سے امام حسین کا دل اتنا شگافتہ ہوا، اتنے ٹکڑوں میں بٹ گیا۔ جان کہتا ہے مولا آپ کیا اس لیے مجھے نہیں جانے دے رہے کیونکہ میرا رنگ کالا ہے؟ کیا آپ مجھے اس لیے نہیں جانے دے رہے کہ میرے جسم سے بدبو آتی ہے؟ یا مجھے اس لیے نہیں جانے دے رہے کہ میں کوئی نسل کا نہیں ہوں، میرے باپ دادا کا کوئی نام نہیں ہے؟ جان حسین کو ایسا مت ستاؤ، جان حسین کا دل بڑا نازک ہے، جب حسین سنتے ہیں یہ بات تو کہتے ہیں اے جان میں تمہیں اجازت دیا، جاؤ جاؤ۔ جان جاتے ہیں لڑنے کے لیے، حسین نے دعا بھی دیا، یہی دعا دیا کہ اے اللہ، جب جان جاتا ہے تو حسین یہ دعا دیتے ہیں، خدایا پروردگار اس کے بدن کو اس طرح خوشبودار کر دے تاکہ تا قیامت اس کے بدن سے خوشبو آئے۔ جب جان جاتا ہے اور لڑتا ہے اور جب گرتا ہے تو پھر وہ کہتا ہے السلام علیکم یا ابا عبداللہ، میرے مولا میرا آخری سلام۔ حسین آتے ہیں، بس عزادار اپنا پرسا دیجئے اپنے امام کو، بیوی فاطمہ کو اپنا پرسا دیجئے۔ جب حسین آتے ہیں جان کے پاس، جان ایک ادنا سا غلام ہے، بھائیو بہن عزاداروں، جان ایک ادنا سا غلام ہے۔ جب امام حسین آتے ہیں جان کے پاس تو جان کو دیکھتے ہیں، وہ اس کی آخری سانسیں ہیں، جان کو اٹھاتے ہیں۔ جب ملک الموت آیا تو یہ کہتے ہیں ملک الموت سے، اپنے امام کے لفظوں کو سنیے اور پھر گریا کریے، پھر روئیے۔ اپنے جب ملک الموت آتا ہے تو جان کو اپنے ہاتھوں پر اٹھاتے ہیں اور ملک الموت سے کہتے ہیں کہ دیکھ یہ لے کے جا میری ماں کے پاس، یہ حسین کا خاص تحفہ ہے فاطمہ کے لیے۔ سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ۔ بات بے حسین